each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi everybody, and welcome. It just occurred to me. TGIF.
Right.
And this is July. Is a holiday weekend.
It's the holiday weekend, the last day of June.
It's hard to believe.
Unbelievable, yes.
That means summer's halfway over. Did we talk about this yesterday? I don't know. anyway, hi, Christina.
Hi, Father.
Tony, as usual, is now he takes advantage of the fact that you're here.
He thinks he can come in
late whenever he wants. he needs to be reprimanded. So
tardy Tony.
Anyway, yeah, I can't believe this is already, July 1st is already tomorrow, so
everybody will
have a long weekend. Do you guys do barbecue or
We go to or? My cousin's house. She has a big house, a very beautiful house in Arlington Heights.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they have
a barbecue.
They have a pool, they have a...
So I'm hungry, so what do you guys, what do they make?
They make... Hot dogs and hamburgers for the kids.
Yeah.
Corn on the cob, which I love corn. It reminds me of summer. They have the fruits, watermelon, and they have, and then for, because we're Mexican, they have arrachera. Yes, and we have arrachera and tortillas and beans and.
What did you say? That was the first thing they said. What did you say?
Arrachera, which
what is
arrachera? It's
a
steak.
Oh, skirt steak. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really, really good.
Yeah. So, and they have salsa, you know, the chips and all that. Guacamole. I'm getting hungry.
Hungry too. Wow, that's a feast.
It's a feast, and then kebabs.
What are kebabs?
They put on the like skewers. They put the pieces of meat and vegetables on the sticks.
Oh, the kebab, of course. Yeah, that's a Greek thing. That's not
But they also have what's unique about their house, the back, apart from the pool, they have a, because they're into golf. Mm-hmm. My cousin's husband and his little boy, they're training him. Very good golfer.
Wow.
They have a little mini golf course in the back.
Oh, nice. House.
That's a nice house. But it's nice to get together for the holidays, as we since we're into music,
right?
My other
cousin, that's right. You guys all sing.
We get together and we sing, play the guitar, and we all sing. And it's nice to be with the family, all the little kids. The family's growing, so there's a lot of kids.
God, I'm so happy that you and your
we're good. Yeah.
I don't use God's name in vain. But it's so good having you and your father singing again together.
Thank you. We try, you know what, everybody's dealing with anxiety, but we do.
I have no anxiety in my life. There's
had a terrible night last night. I don't know, but when we sing here at the parish, we want to do our best and give it the best to the Lord, and so we get so nervous.
I know you say that, and your dad says it as well, but it's never changed over the years. People who haven't heard Christina and her father sing together, it's absolutely beautiful, because you've got that kind of a You've got a deep voice in singing, not the.
You're not baritone,
but you've got a nice. The resonance is very.
I have a low female. It's an alto.
Yeah, it's really beautiful.
I always wanted to be a soprano. I'm not, but I always wanted to. And one day, this priest, he had a choir in one of the churches, and he said, you know, it's hard to find an alto voice, a female low voice, because it's not common.
I guess it's not. No, because it's good, you know.
Most females have a high-pitched voice, but I don't.
But you sang, I'm trying to remember when you sang with the mariachis. Didn't you sing
with
the mariachis?
Yes, I sang for Our Lady of Guadalupe. Yeah. That was one of my dreams when I was little.
Yeah.
And so
you could easily be a female singer with the mariachis, yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. I enjoy
it.
We have family gatherings or celebrations and they have mariachi, then we sing. The problem with me is I don't know a lot of the songs.
Right.
My dad knows more of the mariachi songs, but singing for the Lord, that's the best thing ever. It's a privilege for me to do that.
And it's beautiful. It really is. It just sets the. When we have a mass or whatever, and you guys sing it, just especially at funerals, you know, at anything, you know, but it just it really is because gosh, it was maybe for the last 3 years that you weren't singing during the pandemic.
And people would come to the house, you know, when there was a funeral or even quinceañera, people would come to the house and knock on the door. We want you to sing. And that I felt bad. That's when I had my accident and I couldn't walk.
Right.
And I felt terrible. I missed a lot of funerals, but I missed singing at the parish. Yeah. I did miss the parishioners, but I'm happy to be back. And it was, I don't know, singing again for God and for his people. It's a privilege for me, and it's also very fulfilling. I don't know. Although we get anxious, but we've talked about this when we come into the Mass, God takes over, and you feel his presence.
Right.
You really feel his presence, and it's hard to explain what the feeling is, but it's so beautiful.
But you know, when you say that's, I would concur with that myself, because many times. Especially depending on the Mass, because I have Mass every day, but when there's when we have a special Mass, let's say like the Divine Mercy Sunday or whatever it might be, if it's what do we have? Corpus Christi, you know, everything was a little bit different, and so there's this anxiety a lot of or in some cases. With funerals, where you know the people and all that, and you want to, or weddings, or whatever, you know, you don't want to disappoint the people, and so there is a natural anxiety. And yet when, as you say, once we enter into that the Holy Mass, everything, it's just like God takes over the Spirit. There's like this, you feel this infusion of the Spirit of God.
The Spirit. And like you said, Father, when it's family or when it's a loved one, you don't want to disappoint,
right.
and you get more nervous. And also, if it's, again, when it's a loved one, family, you don't want the emotions, the grieving, because then you're grieving too for the loss.
Right.
And you don't want that to take over, because then... You know, to get emotions. It's hard not to get the emotions. You know, let the emotions.
That happens to me, as you know, from time to time.
It's hard because we're human. You know.
And even sometimes in a given Mass or whatever, if we're dealing with something that may have happened. I remember when Teresa died.
Sure.
Or Basha, and. You know, you're in the Mass,
anybody that's close to the parish, it's family.
Yeah, right. And as you're praying the Mass, it's especially when we get to the consecration. For some reason, that's when it really sometimes I have to hold back my own emotions, because it's as if you're being transported back into the experience. Because mystically, it is. As Catholics, we believe this.
Sure.
And we know it to be true because, and it's not that it's always experiential. It's not that we always experience, but sometimes, but we don't, we know that the messianic hour, the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus is perpetuated, renewed, represented on the altar of sacrifice, which becomes the table of the banquet, and as we offer our lives, you know, on during the Mass, in union with Christ, with Christ, for Christ, through Christ, to the Father. But as we pray the prayers of the Mass, and as I'm at the moment of consecration, it sometimes it becomes very experiential. It's like being transported back into that. That reality, which is a reality mystically, but in a hidden way, being made manifest. I don't know if I'm saying all this right or not, but it's in any case, you feel like you're. It's like praying with scripture. You know, we
it comes
often
to
I
life,
say we have to read ourselves into sacred scripture, but to get into the story. And I would call it a kind of a mystical experience where you all of a sudden you're transported into that experience. And so you're there at the cross. You're at the foot of the cross.
It's like you're reliving it.
Right. It's when we say represented, renewed, perpetuated, it's a reliving the experience.
Yes. And I think of when Jesus going back to the consecration, how sometimes, and it's happened to you, it's happened to other priests, where you get emotional.
Completely.
Because that's a powerful moment right there.
Right.
And I can imagine how our Lord, what he felt during the Last Supper,
right,
what he was going through.
Right.
The same. It's a very powerful moment, very emotional, knowing what he was going through, and it was sort of a farewell, and everything, the whole experience with his disciples.
And to pronounce the words of consecration, you know, the very words of Jesus, "Take, eat, this is my body," which would be given up for you. I don't remember. I say it every day, but take, drink. This is my blood,
blood
poured out for you, for many. And it's the you. Well, since we're in the month of the Sacred Heart, it's actually entering into the heart of Jesus and what his heart was. What he endured or what he was anticipating as he instituted the Holy Eucharist at the Last Supper, because this was the eve of his literally laying down his life, so much so that when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he sweat blood. So anyway, Tony, you're late again.
Dirty Tony.
Funny? I'm sitting in traffic. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, wow, it's the second day. I'm sure Father's going to make fun of me and say something like he said at the very beginning.
Never make fun of anybody.
And I thought to myself the exact same thing when I got at the expressway. Wow, Father's going to think, okay, because Christina's here now.
I took the thoughts right out of your head.
We're entirely been around each other too long.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, and traffic in Chicago
now
is horrible.
Yeah, it gets good until you get on, and then it's either two lanes or one lane, and then it's.
So certainly when you go to work, you take the expressway, right?
Yeah.
But when you come here, do you come the expressway?
Yeah. I've been thinking, well, I keep hearing Angelica say, you know, get out early, and I for me, that would be like about an hour or so early. Yeah. So it would be kind of, it's hard to manage. Sometimes I think, okay, I'll get on, I'll leave maybe 20 minutes earlier.
You don't think that taking the side streets might be faster?
Well, it depends.
For those who don't know, traffic, for those too, who may be listening and they're not in Chicago, we've got major
construction
going on the Kennedy Expressway.
The only thing is certain spots, there's just a lot of traffic, and they're doing, believe it or not, construction on the streets, too, so it makes it a
And then the weekend, there's the NASCAR racing, so there's a lot of street closures.
So I wondered about that. I didn't realize that because I was going down Michigan Avenue on Wednesday.
Oh.
And they've got stands all along Michigan Avenue.
They've been doing that. They've been closing off certain streets.
So what are they doing? I mean, so I heard on the radio today that it's between Balboa and Jackson, but that's not a big stretch, is it? I don't understand.
You know, I'm not sure how they're going to do this, and I've been thinking about this. I'm not a NASCAR fan, but I don't, you know, I'm one of those people like with anything. Oh, well, it's happening. You're going to watch, but you always see those crashes and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how they're going to do that on streets.
I thought it was going to be on Lakeshore Drive. I didn't know.
That's what I would have thought too. But they have a whole little kind of,
and they're closing
outline.
Major streets. Yeah. That's the problem. The traffic.
Well, maybe it's going to start on Michigan Avenue and then head over to Balboa is. Balboa goes east-west, right?
I think so.
And is it, it's this side of, it's north of Roosevelt, I think. Yeah. Is it?
I think it is.
I don't know.
I get lost in downtown. No, I think, no sense
but
of
see,
direction.
Again, when you think of NASCAR, you think about a track, and it's usually, you know, where you can see, and there's people that are going to be on the sides.
They're not just going to parade the cars. It's going to be a race.
It's an actual race, a real race.
I'm tempted to go down there and watch it. I want to see how they're going to do this, you know?
Well, I would rather spend this weekend, you know, remembering people's birthdays who I would forget, you know, like Christina who's coming up, and we forgot Nick.
So, celebrate Nick's birthday.
Again, happy birthday to Christina.
Thank you.
By the way, you know, I was...
Or the fourth.
Or the fourth.
I was...
thanks, Tony.
Talking making me hungry this morning.
Jumping from here to there, but I was talking to my sister yesterday, and or the day before, I don't know. I'm losing track of time. But in any case, but she was telling me about the number of drownings on Panhandle, and I saw this morning on the news that Panama City Beach is the most dangerous beach in the country right now. They have had 11 drownings.
Wow!
And see,
just in the last
one time
days.
When you were talking about the. What is it, the undertow?
The undertow.
Exactly. Yeah.
I never thought about that. Yeah. Well, I don't swim out in tend to swim in a pool. I won't swim out
in the
wild.
At least you know how to swim. I don't know how to swim. I'm terrified of the
when
water.
When that gets you, it gets
and
you.
Doesn't matter whether it looks bad or not. You just it is what it is. And
that's scary.
I was talking to Jasmine this morning because I was talking about this, and my a friend of mine. You know, we went to high school together, and she was a year ahead of me. And in any case, we went to. We were both in the community college after I graduated from high school, and we lived in the same, basically the same neighborhood, and so we would carpool because we both worked downtown. So we'd go to school to the community college, Gulf Coast Community College, and from there we'd go to work and then come home. Mm-hmm. But she was a year ahead of me, so when she graduated from the community college, she quit her job downtown in Panama City, which is not a big bet. That's a tiny town. Downtown.
Downtown. Yeah. You know,
and then she took a job at the beach, Panama City Beach, which is big. It's pretty big. They had spring break there for many, many years. I don't know if they're still doing it down there or not, but they still do it. But I don't know if it's the big spring break it was.
Right.
You know. But anyway, she took a job on the beach and was sunbathing. I mean, I just remember I had gone home from work and I was watching the news, and they announced, you know, that there's Ruthie Haynes drowned at the beach, and the as happened, she was just, you know, she was sunbathing, and she just went into the water, not
too deep.
No, just like knee deep or something.
Wow.
And a wave, the undertow, took her under.
Wow.
And what was shocking for most of us is that she's a Floridian.
No,
so they kind of know how to, supposedly they kind of know, they should know.
Yes.
The danger of the ocean, of the Gulf of Mexico, that you when you're being sucked under, you just got to go with it because it'll bring you back up.
Mm-hmm. You don't fight it.
You don't fight it. When mm-hmm. you fight it, that's when you
struggle.
You struggle, and that's yeah. that's when people drown. And she drowned that way. She was, what, 19, 20, probably 20 years
that's
old,
tragic.
21.
Well, that's how Basha.
That's so sad. That too, yeah.
There were also shark attacks too.
Right, right. Well, they always, you know, the thing is, you get to watch for the flags, and so they were even on the news this morning as they were speaking about this in Panama City Beach, and see that football coach drowned not too far from there in Destin. This is all on the Panhandle, so that whole area along the Panhandle right now is really, really bad. But if you've got the red flag, you know, they've got these different flags that they fly, so you know how safe the water is. And if it's a red flag, you know, then try to stay away. If it's a double red flag, then you don't go. You're not supposed to go in the water at all.
And I wonder, I bet people do.
They do.
Don't they?
Yes. Yeah. And as they were saying on the news this morning, trying to keep people out of the water, because you're also putting your first responders at risk.
That's right.
As they try to go in to retrieve
the people.
Rescue somebody who's gone under or stuck or whatever. So anyway, yeah, how do we get from?
Well, it's life.
Conversation.
Life.
It's yeah. Life.
Life.
Life. Reality.
These are all the things I think of when I'm in traffic.
Right. Yeah.
So a lot to
why don't
reflect.
We pray? I yes. just want to see what time it is. Oh my gosh, 22 minutes into the show. Wow.
So fast.
Hey, Fred, we'll pray and then we'll take a break. Why don't we do that? We need to pray. And today is the last day of
June,
so we'll do the litany to the Sacred Heart. And then, of course, July is the month of the precious blood, right?
Well, beautiful month.
her birthday, my mother's birthday as well.
Oh, that's great.
And, of course, it's...
That's the month of the
Oscar's
intelligent
birthday
people.
As well.
Sorry, it's not as good as April.
April is
the best.
But that's your wedding anniversary.
Oh, January, yeah.
July.
July, yes. I made that same mistake. I would always say January when it was July.
July.
What day in July?
The 31st.
The 31st.
You had their wedding, Father.
I know I did. I don't remember the dates of all the weddings
I've had.
So many
weddings you had, Father.
It was hot.
Hot and humid.
Hot and humid.
I tell people, you know, try to avoid summer weddings in Chicago because... it's a very, very if you get a nice day, the difference between Chicago and Florida, like when I got down to Miami, I got off the plane. As soon as I got off the plane, even before going into the, before leaving the airport, but as soon as you get off the plane and you're in the, in those walkways, so you're not outdoors, you're indoors, but you immediately, you feel the humidity.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, this is why I wouldn't want to live in Florida. And I think we were talking about that yesterday or whatever. But so the nice thing about Chicago is, yes, we have humid days. And I think today is one of them, right?
Yes, and yesterday, too.
And it's supposed to get up to 91 today, I think.
Today is going to be hot.
So, but you know it's not going to last forever. Yeah. It changes.
And the same with Texas, which is extremely hot right now.
Extremely hot.
Wow. Yeah.
Extremely hot.
Yeah, they've been having.
We could
but
always have
Mexico,
worse.
Actually, I was reading this morning.
They're having
or
that
I saw
heat wave
this morning as well. A major heat wave,
and they're not used to
unprecedented
it.
Unprecedented heat.
Yeah, I have family in Mexico, and they're in the northern part, Mexico City, which is usually on the cooler side. It's extremely hot there, and she said, I've never experienced this before.
Yeah, there's been a number of deaths there too because they don't have air conditioning or whatever.
They don't.
I was listening to that on the news this morning as well. All right, well, let's pray for everybody.
Yes, the whole world.
The whole world needs our prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world, for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God.
Holy Mighty One. Holy Immortal One. Have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God. Holy Mighty One. Holy Immortal One. Have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God. Holy Mighty One. Holy Immortal One. Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us, increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. In the litany of the most sacred heart of Jesus, Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, hear us.
Christ, graciously hear us.
God, the Father of heaven,
have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Spirit,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, Son of the Eternal Father,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, formed by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mother,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, substantially united to the Word of God,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, of infinite majesty,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, sacred temple of God,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, tabernacle of the Most High,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, house of God and gate of heaven,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, burning furnace of love,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, abode of justice and love,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, full of goodness and love,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, abyss of all virtues,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, most worthy of all praise,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, King and center of all hearts,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, in whom dwells the fullness of divinity,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, in whom the Father was well pleased.
Have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, of whose fullness we have all received.
Have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, desire of the everlasting hills.
Have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, patient and most merciful.
Have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, enriching all who invoke you.
Have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, fountain of life and holiness.
Have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, propitiation for our sins.
Have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, loaded down with opprobrium.
Have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, bruised for our offenses.
Have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, obedient to death.
Have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, pierced with a lance.
Have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, source of all consolation.
Have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, our life and resurrection.
Have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, our peace and reconciliation.
Have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, victim for our sins.
Have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, salvation of those who trust in you.
Have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, hope of those who die in you.
Have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, delight of all the saints.
Have mercy on us.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world.
Spare us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world.
Graciously hear us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world.
Have mercy on us.
Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make our hearts like unto yours. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, look upon the heart of your most beloved Son and upon the praises and satisfaction which he offers you in the name of sinners and to those who implore your mercy. In your great goodness, grant forgiveness in the name of the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you forever and ever.
Amen.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
All the holy martyrs, the proto-martyrs of Rome, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Today is the feast of the proto-martyrs of Rome, the first martyrs of Rome. Peter and Paul, their feast was yesterday. They were also martyred under the persecution of Nero. And so today the church celebrates the martyrdom of the... They said could have been well into 1,000 Christians who are martyred. Who were martyred in just in a matter of just a few days.
Wow.
Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll be right back on Father Anthony and Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WSFI.
I'm Dr. Peter Howard, founder of the Fulton Sheen Movement. On July 9th, join me and Father Tom Loya at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen for an historic rally to fan the flame of love and devotion to Venerable Fulton Sheen. We need Fulton Sheen's intercession and guidance now more than ever. We're gathering to pray for his cause and especially for the Holy Spirit to move the church to set a new date for his beatification. Starting at 10 a.m., come and pray with us. Enjoy a delicious cookout and hear inspiring talks on Sheen by Father Loya and myself. Activities are planned for the whole family. Go to FultonSheenMovement.com for a complete schedule and to sign our global petition to unpause the cause of this great prophet for our times. Co-sponsored by WFSI, this rally is your chance to make a difference. I'll see you all on July 9th.
Bye now, and God love you.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststandschurch.org. Sometimes it's tough to hear winds of change over the air. What with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear Winds of Change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststandschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button, or visit Winds of Change Facebook page to see the Listen Live link.
Hey.
Hey, what happened?
Welcome back. We're just talking, having a good time here.
Ciao.
You know? TGIF. It's Independence Day weekend, you know? Now we have to pray for our country, for our nation.
Yes. Right?
Got to wake up, everybody. Got to wake up. We got to return to the basics, go back to God.
I wonder if people even remember. There's people that really even know what the 4th is really about.
Is it taught like it used to be taught?
No, I don't
no,
think so.
Not at all. I want to go back to readings of Sunday are interesting because Jesus says, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. You know, elsewhere in one of the other Gospels, Jesus says, unless you hate your mother and father, mm-hmm. your brother, your sister, your son, your daughter, you're not worthy of me. It's a very strong word, but there is a reason why he said that. And he's quite serious in making this bold proclamation, because obviously the Lord knows something of himself. He's God. And something of us, that apart from him, we simply do not survive. And that's, so as we prepare to celebrate Independence Day, mm-hmm. let that be known that if we continue, although my hope is that there's going to be this collective reawakening to the crazy, weird things going on, but we got to get back to God. Many try to get on with life without God, and while for a time things may go very well, something inevitably happens that brings the house down. That house is a metaphor for one's personal life, that of a family, or that of a nation. So, you know, Jesus, you recall he speaks of fools, the foolish people, who build their house on sand. He says the rain comes and the wind blows and the house falls because it has no foundation. He goes on to say the wise build their house on rock and the rain comes and the wind blows, but the house does not collapse because it has a firm, rock-solid foundation. Of course, the Lord refers to himself as the foundation upon which we build our lives. By the way, you should remember, Tony, that I said this at your wedding.
At the wedding.
Okay.
You probably did.
I did. I didn't probably. I did.
You definitely did.
So, and you.
I just don't remember much of my wedding. I was so scared.
You said it at my brother's wedding.
Yes. Because I
see, so you say it at all weddings.
You said it at the weddings.
Not at all weddings, but a lot of the weddings I do. Because I think you're coming together. You're building a family. You're building a home.
I guess it is one of the reasons I tend to absorb it when you say it and quiet. I just
right. You were nervous that day. That's
yeah, I was very nervous.
And it was a hot day.
So, the heat was on.
Blaming on the heat. The heat was on.
Anyway, the Lord actually, in so many ways, he shows us why it is imperative that we remain in him. He chides us, you know, for excessive worry. You know, we waste precious energy worrying about so many things. Jesus says, you know, look at the birds in the sky, and I provide for the birds, and you just take note how I care for them. And you look at the flowers in the field and how beautifully adorned they are. And are you not more precious to me than the birds in the sky and the flowers of the field? So he says, enough already, O you of little faith, worrying about tomorrow when today has sufficient suffering for the day. I'm with you today. I'll get you through this day. I'll be with you tomorrow, and I'll get you through tomorrow. And so it is day after day after day after day if we stay with him. And again, he doesn't deceive us, right? Because he says today has sufferings sufficient for the day. When the apostles, of course, are in the boat in the midst of a fierce storm, Jesus is asleep in the hull. And in their panic, and I would be panicking too, they cry out to him, wake up, you know, you don't care. Mm-hmm. Do you not care that we're going to perish in this storm? And he chides them. He says, oh, you men of little faith. And he brings calm to the storm. Even when the hour of death should arrive, didn't Jesus say, I will come for you and bring you home to a place already prepared for you? You know, we talk so much about death on this show, it seems to me, but because it is a reality, but it is a going home. It is a going home. Again, we're not condemned to be here forever. So the gospel is full of examples of the Lord's desire to be for us who, in fact, he is. Through the carrying of his own cross, in his suffering, his death, his resurrection, he became for us indeed Messiah, the Christ, which means what? Our Savior, our Redeemer. He's absolutely correct in the bold summons issuing from his lips. Whoever loves anyone or anything more than me is not worthy of me. He needs our cooperation in order to help us, to lift us up when we've fallen, to give us strength in our weakness, to bring peace to the chaos of our lives, to bring good from evil, and eventually to bring life from death. You know, I've said it many, many times, God is not a magician who simply waves a wand to make everything okay. We would like that, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
But in our personal lives, in the life of the family, in the life of the nation, we must remain grounded in him, obedient to him, trusting in him. No one gets a free ride on the road that leads to the full realization of his kingdom. The work of salvation is the responsibility of all of us. It's a discipline, involves sacrifice on the part of each and every one. As he so pointedly said, lose yourself for my sake and you'll find yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. Perhaps he would express it a little differently in our 21st century world. Get over yourself. Get the chip off your shoulder. This is not about you. There's work to be done, and we don't have the time to dote over one or another. We're all in this together, and depending on whether Jesus Christ is our primary person of reference, we will either rise or fall together. Because even the innocent are not, again, you can't, speaking of the nation, you know, if we don't wake up, if we don't really put God at the center, because who was it? One of the founders of the nation, and they've all been maligned. You know, today they're all being maligned. But I don't know if it was George Washington or. Do you remember who said, you know, that this Constitution was written for a righteous and moral, God-fearing people, something to that effect.
I want to say Jefferson.
Might have been Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah, I want to say that. We need to get Father Coyce. He's our
historian.
He's the historian, yeah.
He should be able to.
Yeah, I should pull all that stuff out, but...
he likes... I want to say Sam Adams, but it's not Sam Adams. It's the beer, Sam Adams, that I always make that mistake.
I always get confused with the Adams.
The Adams.
Yeah.
Not the Adams.
John Adams.
John Adams.
God, we went to that. But I should have brought this out. I didn't, because we're not going to be on a radio Tuesday on the 4th of July. But I wonder if we, I don't know, Nick, if you can even dig up. I mean, it probably might be impossible to dig up
something we did for the 4th of July.
Because we had, there was a lot, some really interesting the quotes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
I have to try to find those. But maybe... Maybe the wizard behind the curtain over there, Nick, maybe he can pull it up for the 4th of July for Independence Day. But it's what's so sad today, and, you know, more and more people are talking about it. People really do feel, and I know this is going to sound very pessimistic, but I'm being realistic. If we don't experience a metanoia, a change of heart, a return to God, we will not survive as a nation. We just simply will not survive as a nation. It's a kind of a no-brainer, and
we've seen it in history. History repeats itself.
That's the thing.
Sure.
We see it over and over.
Every empire that has ever been is no longer, and the American experiment, as I've heard it called, you know, a nation actually built on Judeo-Christian principles, and many would say, well, it's more Protestant, but actually the Catholics, you know, Maryland was the first, was one of the colonies, and it was named after the Mother of God. It was a Catholic colony, and it was the first colony, the first state to really practice freedom of religion. You know, and probably in large part due to the fact that Catholics were discriminated against and have always been in this nation, this country of ours. What's so sad today is that because as the nation is divided, the church is divided as well, and so we have many politicians who claim to be Catholic, and yet they espouse such things as abortion. The great good that in same-sex marriage and all that. And as I said, you know, it's not we're not here to condemn anybody, but you know, but that we have to adhere to a higher law, God's law. And again, as I've repeated so often, God is God of order in a disordered world. And if we keep God as the foundation, you know, and prove ourselves to be wise. Again, you just go back to the book of Deuteronomy when the commandments were given, and God speaking to Moses said, you know, tell the people to fulfill, to love, to obey these commandments, and they will, and he said, and drill them into your children. And you will prove yourselves, you will show yourselves to be a wise, intelligent, knowledgeable, dignified, noble people, and you will be the envy of all nations. And Jesus, and I know we repeat this all the time too, but in the Sermon on the Mount, after he gave the Beatitudes, he right away said, and don't think that I've come to take the law away, the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. He says, no, none of that is going to be dispensed with. But it's binding on all people for all time, and then he goes on from that to say, you know, but now you've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say if you even look with lust on a woman, you've committed the sin. So, and as I've said before too, you know, I went to public school and we were taught the Ten Commandments in those days, and we prayed as we began school, before we went to lunch, and at the end of the day, in a public school.
And you read the sacred scripture, the Bible, no?
We had the commandments. We had the Bible study.
You had the Bible
study. So once a week, I remember the woman would come in, and she would have tell her Bible stories. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a Catholic school. I was a Catholic, but there was nothing. These Bible stories are Bible stories. Sure. They're you know, it's and they were beautiful. And they had that. I remember, you know, they would have the pictures, you know, the big pictures, yeah. Illustrations, and
but here's to make it as simple as possible. We've stopped doing that. What is the result? Mm. Why would we stop doing that? And again, what is the result?
Well,
we can talk about money and throwing things in, you know,
the agenda.
Anybody with their eyes open.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mentioned on Sunday, I said that, you know, we're, and I've, again, I mention this all the time because mm-hmm. we really are passing to a diabolical disorientation. And I remember in the homily on Sunday, I said, okay, but now, actually, there are many, far too many, who don't see it as a diabolical disorientation, but actually like where we've come.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, you know, the free reign of the flesh. It's, you know, I do my thing, you do your thing, no judgment. It's all relative.
Yeah.
But there's got to be a standard. There's got
to
be...
It still comes down to almost, and in my eyes, in my opinion, I'm sorry, the greatest sin. You put yourself over what is right. You put yourself over what is God. You choose to be God, and it never works out.
So the great book. Go ahead, Kristen. You were
yeah,
say
I was going to say the pride, lack of humility, pride. Here we go again with pride.
The antithesis of humility. Yeah. Humility. Faith requires humility.
Mm-hmm. It's all about me.
Mm-hmm.
Humility I want.
Is acknowledging, you know, we acknowledge that, you know, humility is acknowledging my need for God,
mm-hmm.
Who created me in his image and likeness, who loved me in the life. He's the artist. We're the work of his hands. And so, and he's closer to us than we are to ourselves. And so if we remain in him, he promises to remain in us. Then he brings us into our true self, right? Again, lose yourself, you'll find yourself. Die to yourself, and you'll live. We decrease, that he increase. He means us no harm. In fact, he is, again, Messiah, Savior, the Christ, Redeemer. He has redeemed us. We are in a fallen state, a world that suffers the effect of original sin. That's why the world is, apart from God, disordered. And God, being a God of order, calls us to a high standard. And it means that discipleship in Christ comes at a great cost. And what is that cost? Death to self. So that we're not swimming in a sea of egos and drowning each other, but we're together collectively walking hand in hand or side by side trying to get trying to help each other through this world into the next. So when we speak about death all the time, the saints have always said, you keep death before you and you'll live a holy life. Then you know, what is the meaning and purpose of life? And again, it begs the question, why so much unhappiness? Why so much anxiety? Why so much suffering in the lives of our young people today? It's because they've been deprived the gift of faith. It's not being inculcated. It's not being witnessed for them. And Christina, you know this because you worked in the office for so many years. How many adults came and expressed a certain grief that they were deprived faith as they were growing up?
They would come, right? In tears.
Yeah.
Saying their parents did not love them enough to show them the faith, to teach them the faith.
Because I remember how many times you told me that.
Yes.
You know, and that if they, I would have, I could have, I should have, if only.
Yes.
But it's nobody can deny the fact that we've just seen radical change in this wonderful nation, which is not and never was perfect, but had God as its reference to correct its errors. And this is something that we, again, because of a lack of humility to acknowledge that we've corrected certain errors. You know, you take something like slavery. It's a horrible thing. We weren't the only nation that had slaves. Many nations had slaves. Africa had slaves. Mm-hmm. And yet we, because of our Judeo-Christian identity, we knew we had to correct a wrong that was being done to a people. Mm-hmm. And we corrected that. Now, yes, there you're going to have evil people. You're going to have people who are racist, who discriminate. Unfortunately, that's part of the human condition. Mm-hmm. And so it's having to navigate through the evil that is inherent in the world, but that we've been infused with the very life of God. And so we have this sacred power that enables us to rise above ourselves and to, hold these other people in check, mm-hmm. So that they don't perpetuate or perpetrate an evil to anyone. Now, the problem today, and this is where I was just writing something the other day, but I put it aside because I think I mentioned it. Yes, I had it written. Mm-hmm. But, when it comes to our teachings, because of our obedience to the laws of God and how God has ordered life, this free reign of the flesh, you give free reign to the flesh of its nature will lust against the spirit and produce all these very negative and dark things. And we see this happening. And so, to superficialize love, mm-hmm. Just like we mentioned that Sparkle Creed yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
So our creed is, I believe, that, what, mm-hmm. but love, 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 mm-hmm. love.
No, love is love is love.
Love is love is love.
What is that?
We are, love is sacrificial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that I look beyond myself. I look beyond what I think I want or mm-hmm. my own proclivities or whatever it might be. I've got to think of a greater good, the future of the nation, the salvation and the sanctification of the people I love, not only the people I love, but the whole of humanity. How can we, again, navigate through this world that is suffering the effect of original sin mm-hmm. and humbly acknowledge our own woundedness, our own brokenness, our own sickness, our own sinfulness, and keep our eyes firmly fixed on the Lord, surrender in humility our lives and the lives of those we love and the life of our nation to Almighty God. And we're just here now out of time, but truly, as we enter into this celebration of Independence Day, the hope and prayers that we would acknowledge in gratitude those who founded this nation for a moral, God-fearing, God-loving people. Anyway, I have a very blessed Independence Day weekend, really, as we've really began the celebration, I think, already now. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.